Y'all, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning. We are presented by Green Ventures Landscaping for homes and businesses that want to stand out, not blend in. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. We got a busy program today. Charles Robinson will be with us later this hour at 7:30. We'll get into the Titans and all things NFL with him. Teron Davenport at 8 o'clock. Burke Nyhill, president and CEO of the Titans, will join us at 8:30 on the program today. We are taking your thoughts on the rebranding of the Titans, the uniforms unveiled last night. And if you're checking out the YouTube stream, I'm wearing a Jeffrey Simmons home jersey right now that they came out with and that he displayed last night. So I love them. I think they're really good. Again, I have, I guess, a bias heading into it. I thought the ones that they just had were bad. So anything they would have done, I probably would have liked better. But I think these are good. And I know we have mixed opinions on those as well. So we'll take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. Let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Tim to the program. Tim, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, guys. Enjoy the show. I like the new uniform. I like the new logo. And, you know, Houston, they don't have any right to say anything. They could have kept the Oilers, but they didn't want them. And so as far as I'm concerned, the Titans can do what they want to. Houston just got to get over it. And the excitement the players had last night with Robert Saleh coming out and excitement, I'm excited about this coming season. I mean, it's different than what we've seen the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks, Tim. Appreciate it. Joe, I think how mad it makes Houston and, frankly, the rest of the NFL is reason enough to wear them. I really do. I think you should lean into that if you're the Titans.
Now, I want to take issue with something he said. He said Houston could have kept him. I don't think that's accurate, is right. It? In fact, Bud Adams was going to just keep this as the Tennessee Oilers.
That's correct.
And then the reaction, caused them to change, but they, it's not like Houston did not get the option. And again, I'm not saying, this is the reality. I mean, the big picture of this is, I'm not a fan of generally of NFL owners holding cities hostage and moving to other cities. It sucks. Now, also, I know that if you go back, there are different situations, and you do have to look at these on a case-by-case basis, and the whole thing with the Astrodome seems like, he was getting squeezed on that one. That was a pretty brutal place there at that point, but still not a fan of it. But the bottom line is, if you own these teams, then you own these things and you have the rights to this stuff. And I think it's smart to use something that whoever created these, they came up with something really good. So it's like you said, Robbie, many times it is a major improvement over what they just had. Another thing, Robbie, real quick on this to the college point. Yeah, it's interesting. Like, he just talked about this in terms of excitement for like the season. Yep. With this, the last rebrand was a very different time for the franchise. It was I guess it was actually going into Vrabel's first year, right? But they had won a playoff game. They were a good young team. There was excitement. There was reason to think the product in the field is going to be good. And I'm seeing some of this on the text line, which is basically like how I would react if one of my teams did this stuff, which is like, great, win football games. Someone was like, put pink leggings. Yeah, Lance, I don't care if they wear pink leggings, win football games. That's still the bigger deal here, But certainly, last night they put it together, man. They had what? Kyle Brandt out there. They had Eddie George out there. Up the program.
ABM Strunk was out there.
Look at these beautiful uniforms we've come back with. I love them. Robert, why aren't you wearing one? Robert, you don't have any logos on.
No logos from Saul last night. He just wore his normal clothes. I kind of respected it.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm the coach. I'm not wearing all this stuff.
No singing from Sala, though.
No singing that I saw.
That's unfortunate. That's unfortunate.
I would say most of the reaction, Joe, that we've gotten, there's a lot of reaction rolling in. We appreciate it. Keep them coming. 615-737-1025. Most people that I have seen really like the jerseys. I think people are still getting used to / less enthusiastic about the logo. I have seen very few people that are complaining about the jerseys. I mean, the most common complaint about the jerseys I'm seeing on the text line are basically that there's not some form of a dark blue version of it, but that's about it. Like people,
yeah.
Look, the jerseys are what they are, as you talked about, Joe. Like, there's obviously it's not directly identical, but it's pretty close to the Oilers jerseys, and it's one of the best jerseys in the history of the league. So, you know, I do understand. We've seen some of this today. Like, if you're a Titans fan, that are like, you know, we're the Tennessee Titans. We've been here for almost 30 years. Do we really want to start leaning back into Oilers stuff? Like, we're the Titans, and it's not the same thing. And I get all that, like, if that's the way that you feel. I don't think there's anything wrong with being the Titans and using your former color scheme. I really don't. Like, I think it's your franchise. It's a great color scheme, frankly. In my opinion, they probably should have just kept the color scheme when they got here. And if you wanted to change the name, change the name. That's fine. But you should have kept the color scheme around. And I'm glad that they're leaning more heavily into this. Now, I still, at some point, would like to see them maybe lean a little bit more into the red than we have at this point. But maybe they'll get there at some point.
Yeah. And some people like the flaming thumbtack. I didn't. But some people do. Some people like the idea of two-tone blue, which is basically gone now. So, you know, some people like that stuff. And I get it. I mean, it is stuff that you buy the apparel over time and things like that. And so, I mean, I'm not surprised that there's a mix of opinions here. Stephen from Clarksville says, the new Houston Oilers.
Sure.
He says they tried too hard, did too much hoopla, ended up with a mid-level ripoff of the Oilers with guitar strings. Amy Adams Strunk just can't get much right. So that's, you know, not everybody loves it, and that's fine.
I would argue that this is one of the things they've gotten the most right in a long time. I really would. Like, I think they nailed this. You know, look, that, you know, the rollout of it or whatever, like the, you know, the party they threw last night, you know, whatever, that's fine. You can throw it whatever way you want to. Like, I know there were some Titans fans that were upset that it wasn't live streamed, okay? So I get that. That's part of it. There were a lot of reporters in the building last night. I think you saw eventually, like, everything worth seeing from it. But again, like, when the biggest question that I personally am having, Joe, is trying to figure out which one I like more, the home jersey or the road jersey, because I like them both a lot, I think that's a win. And again, this is all so subjective that, like, if you're mad about it, I can't stop you from being mad about it. But I think the majority of the people really like the jerseys.
Yeah, I think it's, yeah. And it's also like younger generations too. It's like, I mean, there's less like consideration of, you know, that it's a ripoff of the Oilers or whatever. It just like looks good. Yeah. Like, it's going to always look good. And so there's that aspect of it too. But he's speaking of the reporters. I seriously have no clue. What the hell was Gaharski melting down about? Oh, see, you're not on Twitter. My God.
Yeah, I don't know.
Good for you. He had a complete meltdown about Andrew, and I still have no idea. I'm sitting there with Teresa Walker at the, you know, at Bridgestone, and we're all these Gaharski tweets just completely melting down, ripping Andrew for something. I don't know if he like threw out a tease or a picture, and Kaharski's losing his mind. We can ask him about it Wednesday.
We will.
Yeah, that, between that and we got to make sure to introduce Tic Tac Titans earlier in the discussion. But yes, Kaharski lost his bleep yesterday.
Okay,
on Andrew. Know. So yeah, I don't sick Jeff on him.
Yeah, watch out. It is funny. I've got the Jeff Simmons jersey on right now. I got friends texting me like, "How did you get this?" It's like, I have my ways. AKA the Titans drove up and handed me a box. So
did they bring in any food?
I don't think so. No food this time.
Okay.
The box is good enough.
Not that I need it. I'm just wondering.
615-737-1025. Our phone number. We'll take more of your reaction to the Titans rebranding from yesterday. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. SEC tournament scoreboard updates are driven by Toyota. Be listening for updates throughout the day today. Toyota, let's go places. Taking your thoughts on the Titans. By the way, Tennessee Brewworks, the official craft beer of football offseason coverage here on 102.5 The Game. We'll have Charles Robinson coming up here in just a few minutes to get into what has been a busy week of NFL free agency. And we'll see how much Charles loves the Titans new uniforms as well, or if he does. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. AB from Clarksville says, uniforms have been farting trash slash cheeks slash dog water since 99. We finally don't look like, and here's a bunch of emojis, but a clown face is in there. But Robbie's right, we need a red face mask. Look, with the original Titans jerseys, I kind of liked them. I mean, they're good. So, like, I wouldn't mind those at some point being like an alternate or like a throwback. Like, I guess instead of wearing Oilers jerseys, when you throw back in the future, just wear like the 99 Titans jerseys. I'd be cool with that. So, like, I like the original Titans jerseys. I don't really think, like, when they rebranded last time and switched jerseys, I didn't really think there was much reason to do that. But then they did, and the jerseys they switched to, I just thought were absolutely awful. But these have always been better. Like, these jerseys, this color scheme is just better. So, I'm glad that they're wearing it. There's nothing wrong with looking good out there. Now, go win some football games and look good at the same time. That'd be great.
Yeah. Now, someone, and I'm the text line is popping as I thought it would on this topic, so I've lost this. But someone texted that they thought that D-Mace yesterday was disappointed that the Navy is lost. I've seen a lot of that, which is, like, that is something that's, like, specific to the Titans.
Sure.
And that D-Mace was kind of like they sort of – it's like they got rid of that history, the history here. So, I mean, you got to respect, obviously, someone who was a great player for the organization for so long and his feelings on that. I don't know, like, again, the flaming thumbtack to me was just like, I just think it's a bad logo, okay? But I understand that thought, you know, on just the incorporation of that color in some way to still tie it to your own history since you've been in Tennessee.
Ken says, I absolutely hate the new look. There's no navy blue at all, which is symbolic to the Titans era. I'm fine with throwback to Oilers, but we're the Tennessee Titans, not the Tennessee Oilers. We have seen some of that, so I understand, like, the connection there. I would say this. It's one thing to me, and Joe, you may disagree, others may disagree with this, and that's fine. Like, I think it would be one thing, like, if the Titans had, like, some rich history of winning in their new look, right? Like, you know, they got to the Super Bowl, which was great. And they've been to a couple of AFC title games in addition to the year they went to the Super Bowl, which is good. You know, if they had won, like, two Super Bowls in the last 25 years, Joe, then I think there's more tradition and history and all that stuff that you point to at that point. The fact that they have it, the bottom line is this. Like, if the Steelers changed their jerseys significantly, right? Like, people would be losing their mind. I just don't think it's the same with the Titans. Now, you know, you can agree or disagree with that. That's fine. But I just think that there are, you know, the history part of it, if you've won some championships, to me that just hits differently, and that's a personal preference thing. I don't know. But I have no problem with them leaning more into the Oilers. And the other part of this is, like, again, I understand if you're here, you're a Tennessee Titans fan. But this is part of their history. That's the other thing. Like, it is part of their history, even though you don't necessarily connect it with the Titans part.
Yes, that's true. I agree with what you're saying. I think I would add winning, or you just have an awesome uniform.
Yeah.
Because I would submit to you the Detroit Lions. They are the trash organization, right?
Yeah.
But their uniforms are awesome. And so whenever they've done little tweaks, they put in little black outlines and the numbers, and people lost their minds up there, you know? And they've done, it's like, your uniforms are awesome, even though you've mostly lost in them. Like, they're awesome. But there's also a time thing with that, right? It's also, you're talking about several more decades of something as opposed to here with this. So it's less than 30 years and with a kind of a mid uniform. and not a lot of winning. So yeah, like all that together, it's kind of like, well, it's easier to change things up if that's the case. But yeah, some people don't want to just feel like, okay, this is just all Oilers. I mean, again, that's what Kaharsky wrote. I don't know that it was necessarily a critique from Kaharsky, but he's not wrong. Like, this is a full embrace of the Oilers' history.
Why do we think the Titans' main rationale for kind of bringing this out right now? Do we think it's mostly just for like the new stadium rebrand?
I think so.
Or is it trying to like turn a page on the field and for the player's sake of trying to get these last handful of years out of their brain? Maybe it's a combo of both.
Yeah.
I'd assume it's more of probably the new stadium rebrand.
Well, but, yes, but I think both things, but also I think, I just think it's, you're trying.
It hasn't been that long for like a total new uniform.
It's been less than 10 years, yeah.
And that seems a bit much for an NFL team.
I think ultimately they think that this will appeal to more people too, right? Just as something to purchase.
Yep.
And it's like, it's something that they have access to. And it's like, I mean, everybody does focus groups and studies and whatever. Like, when do people, like, absolutely lose their minds? Whenever the Titans wear those Oilers throwbacks, right? The reaction is just massive. So why not make that the norm? I mean, I think that's part of it, too.
Ian, are you thumbs up or thumbs down on the new unis?
Overall, I'd say thumbs up. I've mentioned this before. The, you know, tie to the Oilers doesn't really do much for me. And the Houston, I don't really care about that. You know, the whole throwback. I understand why they do it, though, because for the Adams family, the blue, the baby blue, was like the color.
Yeah.
And for Bud Adams, he loved that color. It was like his thing, the turquoise. And so I can see why Amy Adams Strunk and the ownership and everybody kind of really leans into it and really likes it. And like you guys said, if the fans like it, you got to go. I mean, it's not, you sometimes are like, hey, you don't listen to the fans. You end up being in the stands like the fans. But that's, you know, more on the field.
Right.
This is kind of the aesthetic stuff. Overall, I think it's an upgrade because the other ones were not very good. So I like them.
Overall, Joe, the guesstimate response as we kind of wrap this part of the conversation up before we get to Charles. My offhand, you know, just quick poll that I've taken looking at the reactions that we've gotten, I'm going about 85% in favor. That's my number. About 85%, heavily in favor.
I was going to say 80-20, but yeah, I can buy 85. I think it's right in that range.
Do we like the guitar string, the sixth guitar string, or is that too much of a reach?
I'm not crazy about it.
Is that a little trying too hard?
Yeah, I would say this both with the Titans rebranding and like the Predators numbers. I'm not crazy about the guitar string thing, but I don't hate it.
It's, you know, it's a nod to Nashville. Robert Nashville says it's Amy. It's a cash grab, so people will go out and buy new jerseys. Yeah, I mean, teams do that. That's why all teams have these alternative uniforms too, right? So it's all a cash grab.
Yeah, I'm not sure she's unique in that with NFL ownership.
Yep.
Right. Right. But it's the question of why this? Why that's what we're asking. Why this in particular? You know. It looks good. I mean, the bottom line is, to me, it looks good. But some people, you know, some people like the old stuff. Old new.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
I do.
This is the old stuff.
It is.
Retro.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us coming up next. We'll get into a busy week of NFL action on the free agency front with him. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll have Charles Robinson coming up here in just a second. Teron Davenport will be with us at 8 o'clock. President and CEO of the Tennessee Titans, Burke Nyhill, will be with us at 8:30. So looking forward to that coming up a little bit later in the show. A lot of your reaction to the Titans and their uniform change, and we'll get behind the scenes of some of that with Burke Nyhill a little bit later in the program as well. So, in the meantime, it's been a very busy week on the NFL free agency front. More moves continuing to trickle in for the Tennessee Titans. More connections to Robert Saleh on the defensive side of the ball and Brian Daboll on the offensive side of the ball. So, We're going to get into those moves with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, who is about to join us here on the program. So looking forward to that. Joe, I can't wait to get Charles' thoughts on the Max Crosby situation, too. So that is going to be fascinating. Matter of fact, let's bring Charles into the program. Charles, on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Charles Robinson joins us every week from Yahoo Sports. Charles, good morning, buddy. How we doing?
What's going on, gents? One day later than usual, obviously. I blew the Thursday show. Sorry about that.
You're a hardworking man. You're out there doing the work that we're not doing.
I had the moment from college where I was in Los Angeles and I rolled over. I'm like, man, it's really light out right now. Like, my phone alarm didn't go off. Like, what time is this? It's way later than it was supposed to be. Sorry about that.
Wow, it's noon.
I was like the scream in the hotel room. I was like, oh my God, my phone died in the middle of the night and I have no idea what time it is, but it's way too light right now for me to be doing the show in Los Angeles.
That's awesome.
What are you doing? Are you surfing out there? What you got going on out there?
No, I just had, you know, some NFL stuff I was working on, kind of some meetings, all that good stuff. So, you know, trying to grind, get through free agency as we go.
There we go. I like it. So, okay. Charles, let's start here. A two-parter for you. Number one, what do you make of the Titans uniforms that they've thrown out there that obviously harken back to the Oilers days? And number two, what do you make of what the Titans have done in free agency to this point, headlined probably by Wandell Robinson, John Franklin Myers, and Alante Taylor? A lot of moves.
Yeah, I mean, the uniforms, first and foremost, you know, I live in Houston. It has not been a popular unveiling. I can tell you people in Houston are just upset. A lot of I've heard a lot of funny comments. I saw somebody called the logo the Toyota Prius logo of the NFL. Everyone's asking where the oil derrick is on the helmets and if you want to play Houston Oilers dress up. Like, this is getting pretty extreme. I love obviously the color scheme. I've always loved that color scheme. But of course, you know, you live in Houston, everyone says that's the Houston Oilers love you blue, you know, scheme. And, you know, what are you doing? Like, just leave it alone. I don't have a problem with that. I like the navy blue as well too, though. It does not surprise me that this kind of leaked and got around early. I've been a part of leaking an early uniform once and got cussed out. Probably my worst cuss out ever from an NFL executive was leaking what a new logo and scheme was going to be. And I didn't think it was a big deal. And clearly the team thought it was a big deal. And I went to social media and made the mistake of confirming what the next logo and scheme was. But I love the colors. I've always loved the colors. I grew up, you know, in an era when, you know, Warren Moon, and it takes me back to, you know, obviously the Houston Oilers days. I don't have a problem with it. Everybody else in Houston does. I saw J.J. Watt even sound off. Like, you weren't even a Houston Oiler, man. Like, I know you played in Houston, but come on. I'm sure a few of those will sell. How has it landed in the fan base? I have not seen.
Mostly,
you know,
positive.
Other than Houston fans complaining.
Mostly very positive. I mean, there are some people that are upset about, you know, we're the Tennessee Titans, we're not the Tennessee Oilers, and all
right,
that stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, frankly, in my opinion, the jerseys that they just had, like the most recent iteration, were among the worst jerseys in the NFL. So anything they would have done would have been an upgrade. I think the number I threw out last segment, Charles, was 85% seemed to love them.
Oh, well, then, I mean, that's just a landslide. I mean, that's most jersey changes, I swear, get absolutely hammered by the fan base. Like, it's you know, that's fantastic for the Oilers. And honestly, it's funny you asked me about the free agency for them. That's a team, the additions, I know, look, they get banged because it's like, why? I think I will say outside of Tennessee, I think you get a lot of people who are like, why are you adding all these, you know, pieces if you're Robert Saleh, you're Brian Daboll, why are you adding all these pieces that you didn't necessarily have success with at previous stops? But across the NFL, without even asking, certainly some of you know, the signings, I think people have been very, very positive about, you know, the class. I mean, you know, John Franklin Myers, Cordell Flott, you know, some of the youth that I think is coming aboard has impressed people. You know, look, Wandale Robinson, for what he is and what he will produce inside that offense, he's not going to be your number one wide receiver, but, you know, he'll be a target hog, very dependable piece for Cam Ward. I think, you know, the youth and some of the pieces that were added, I think it's impressed, you know, people in other places. The draft is going to be, you know, the key to really accentuating this class. I'm very, very interested to see what they do at the top of the first round, because really they can go in almost any direction with that number four pick. And, you know, I think it's thus far it's been positive, and I think people bang, you know, coaches too much when it comes to adding, you know, familiarity. Like one of the ways that you really launch your culture, one of the ways that you get practice on the rails as quickly as possible is to add pieces from, you know, your previous programs who know how you like to do things. They know how you want to run your practices. They know how you want to install your scheme. You can't just start over with a bunch of strangers who have to learn everything new on the fly. You have to bring in people who, you know, understand where the program is going and, you know, what you really want to set as your foundation. So I don't have a problem with, you know, adding pieces of familiarity. And again, like I said, it's, you know, some of the youth that was brought aboard and the talent as well. I think without asking people, what do you think of the Titans class, you know, was certainly brought up the first couple of days. Like I had someone, be careful about how I describe it. It was a very, very, very good, very accomplished NFC front office, without me, you know, asking specifically about the Titans, said they were very impressed with, you know, some of the early pieces that the Titans brought in. I think Flott's the one that I'm really curious to see, you know, how he develops, you know, with the Titans, because there are definitely some people in the NFL that think that's a extremely underrated signing. They really, really like him as a player.
That's very interesting. Okay, so the whole Ravens Crosby thing. I mean, first of all, a couple things on that. One, I mean, are you leaving any wiggle room at all that like there's anything legitimate about this with his knee? And then two, if this is what it appears to be, like, is there any way something like this could be avoided in the future? Let me give you a third. Is there any way that the rest of the teams are gonna, like, you know, whatever, blackball the Ravens or whatever? I mean, right. Stuff
okay,
like
that's
that.
That's a good place to start, actually. No. Like, it's like I understand. Aside from what it looks like, what it is, what we believe it is, all these things. I mean, no one's at the end of the day, you know, teams talk trash, and believe me, this is not like across the league, but no one's not doing deals with Baltimore all of a sudden because they're like, oh, that's just dirty pool. I mean, they've had a history of this. This has happened in the past, you know, with in differing situations, certainly nothing to this level. That's what makes this so wild, is that you really see it happen on this level of like talent, this level of contract, this level of like picks involved. You know, it's at a tier that no one's ever recalled seeing something, you know, like this, but no one's stopping their own, you know, ability to move forward. Or, you know, like if you're doing deals with Baltimore, you're doing it because you feel like it's in your own best interest. No one's going to all of a sudden cut off their nose, you know, to spite their face because they're, oh, geez, the poor Raiders. Like, we feel like this is so terrible for the Raiders and Max Crosby. Nobody cares. I mean, the NFL, it's a brutal bottom line business, and you do what's best for you, and you really don't care how teams comport themselves with other trades. Does it, you know, smear them a little bit? Yeah. I mean, absolutely it does, because I think rightfully so, but the NFL has no recourse because at the end of the day, the Ravens have their story, and there's no way to disprove it. Like, if they're like, hey, we're not comfortable with the knee, we can call it whatever it is, whatever we believe it is, what every other team believes it is, but their story is their story. And unless you have – so here's how I viewed it. When it was reversed, initially, of course, I was stunned. I'm like, wow, that's, you know, never heard of anything like that happening. Everybody across the league was talking about it. There's text messages. It was like agents, front offices, coaches. Like, everyone's like, what happened here? How does this, you know, like, how could this possibly take place? Everybody's got their I's dotted or T's crossed before you ever offer two first-round picks for an injured player. Everybody knows the timeline. I will just say this. Like, when I stared at it, and I think it's like this for most teams, most front offices that are very seasoned and have gone through their own sort of process of trading for players, signing free agents. What changed clearly outside of Max Crosby was we went through one day of free agency, and all of a sudden Trey Hendrickson, and I don't, you know, I'm going to set aside what the Ravens, you know, reasoning is for, you know, oh, we wanted both Trey Hendrickson and Max Crosby and, you know, whatever the reasoning is. What changed after day one was you had a number of teams across the league who were like, whoa, okay, Hendrickson's still sitting there. He's clearly not getting the contract number that he wants and we thought he was going to be gunning for, which was going to be you know, something in the neighborhood of like $40 million a year. And once that market was clearly extremely soft for him at that number, it was obvious he was going to make far less in free agency than anybody, you know, really initially thought he was at least going to be shooting for. And the thought process that, hey, there's probably a team, because teams are like this, there's probably a team out there willing to give him this money. So you get through day one, and I don't think there's any question that the Baltimore Ravens saw that his market was clearly soft. And now you're sitting there and you're saying, okay, well, we're taking a risk on Max Crosby, obviously, with the knee. You know, even if we fully understand what we're taking on here, we're taking a risk with the knee. And then on top of that, we're giving up these draft assets. We're giving up the money that ultimately he's going to get paid. And the opposite side of the ledger, once Hendrickson's you know, number comes in soft and there's clearly a space to sign him for less than maybe people initially thought, there's an opportunity to add a pass rusher who's not as good in the run game. He's not Max Crosby, but you have the ability to add an asset, not give up a couple of first round picks, not take on the risk of, you know, what could ultimately happen with Max Crosby beyond 2026 with the knee. How viable will he be? You know, if we're looking for viability into 2027, maybe 2028, you know, you're onboarding those questions with Crosby. So really that's what changed, is you saw a valuable asset in free agency that was going to be on clearance in some respects. I mean, he's going to, you know, he's really ultimately going to end up making 25% less than he wanted to on a, you know, annual average salary. And you didn't have to give up first round picks. I think across the league, the thought process is the Ravens went through that and said, you know what, we could sign this guy. We could kill this trade over the knee, which maybe we're not as comfortable about as we initially project when we send two first round picks. We retain the draft capital. We get a pass rushing piece, and, you know, we don't give up a super valuable 2027, you know, draft pick, which teams, nobody wants to give up those picks right now. And we keep it moving. And so, you know, I kind of feel like that's what other teams across the league, what other front offices who have gone through these kind of processes, you know, what they saw happen and what they suspect kind of went through the minds of the Ravens. Now, the bridge to whether the NFL could do anything about that, whether anyone could even prove it, is that the Ravens have their story. Hey, we took a deeper look at the knee, you know, we didn't feel comfortable with it, had to move forward. Geez, we wanted both of these guys. I mean, you can, you know, they can say whatever they want at this point. There's really no recourse for the NFL. It's just the way it goes. And, you know, they do have a story to put forward, whether it's truthful or not. That's the story that they can go with. And unless you had the only way, I think realistically anything could be done. And even then, I don't think anything would be done is if someone came out of the Ravens and said, hey, you know what? I'm going to say publicly, we did have conversations about let's not do this trade because we have this other player who is going to sign for less money than we thought, and we don't have to give up draft picks, so let's go ahead and blow this trade up. That's really what it would take, I think, for this to get any traction at all. Everyone can have the opinion they have about it. I don't think the Ravens really ultimately care how they're looked at, because they know if we have to do business in the NFL and it behooves other teams to do business with us, they're not going to stop from doing business with us because of something like this. And I'll ask you guys, do you think it was the wrong decision? Like that is one thing I don't see a lot of people discussing about this is, would any other NFL team made a different decision? If you had rolled out 2 first-round picks for a guy that had a rehab process to go through, that did have questions about his knee, that is not in his mid-20s, he's in his late-20s.
So don't do that. Don't do that.
I understand that, but you know how the NFL operates. You know how teams operate. Like this is, we can act, we can talk about, you know, what looks good or, you know, doesn't look good. We can talk about good faith, bad faith. But at the end of the day, most NFL franchises, and by most, I mean 33 of 32, do what is in their own best interest at the end of the day. Do you really truly think other NFL teams, if they thought that was the best course of actions, best course of action to not?
I think Charles Mann muted himself.
I mean, since we can't hear Charles, if he'll still hear us, let me just say
I can hear you. Sorry about that.
Yeah,
you guys to identify. I'm asking you to identify the NFL team that would not have done it.
A lot of NFL teams wouldn't have made the trade, would have had some sense of the market for Hendrickson, and would have just done that. And I just don't. I mean, the market was softer than you thought. Is it really that big of a difference that money reduction as compared to giving 2 first-round picks? I think a lot of teams just don't even get themselves in this position.
It's the upfront assessment is fair. Like, I hear what you're saying. You can question, like, then you got to come out of the gate going, this is just stupid. Like, why would you give up 2 first-round picks for Max Crosby at this point? And I did see some of that. Obviously, when the trade was first made, you know, there were certainly some questions. I was surprised, frankly, that they got 2 first-round picks out of Max Crosby, particularly after going to the combine and hearing everybody talk about the 2027 draft and how, hey, if there are any trades made, everybody wants it to involve 2026 compensation. Nobody wants to give up those 2027 picks right now unless it's just, you know, a kingmaker kind of move. And, you know, there's no doubt. I was definitely surprised. But aside from that assessment, when you've made the move, and I'll also say with Hendrickson, I do think that's a fair criticism. You should have had a better idea of what Hendrickson's market was really going to come out and look like. There's no way I ever thought he was going to get $40 million a season. Sure, he wants that. Sure, there are other players out there that are drawing that kind of a check. Not Hendrickson at this point in his career. Like, it just was never happening. And it's part of the reason why, you know, ultimately he hit free agency was because his own, you know, franchise looked at him and said, there's no way we're going to pay you that kind of money. I don't think, you know, it was. But I've also seen guys go to free agency and thought in my mind, they're never going to get what they're looking for. Like, this is just crazy. And then some team pops up and out of desperation throws money at them. If you had told me on the doorstep of free agency, hey, somebody's going to pop up and they're going to pay Trey Hendrickson, you know, a real legitimate $40 million a year average, I would have said, yeah, because that's how free agency goes. Like, some team gets just nuts, has a bunch of cap room, doesn't know how to spend. Like, look at Tyler Linderbaum. Like, that money at the center position, I mean, it rocked the league. Like, it really did. I mean, for to go from making, you know, paying centers $18 to $19 million a year, and then the Raiders are like, hey, let's bump it to 26, 27. That doesn't just blow up the center market in the NFL. Teams across the league are going, what are we paying interior offensive linemen now? Because if we're going to pay a center that, there's going to be guards looking for that kind of money. And if there are centers and guards looking for $26, $27 million a year, offensive tackles are going to go, okay, I need 40. Like, that's where we're, that's where this is going now. Like, if you're going to pay the interior guys this, I'm a left tackle. I'm a first team all pro. I'm in my mid to late 20s. The agent's going to say, we're going to start with a 4 and a 0 for an annual average value because of what now you pay centers and guards. So, there's always somebody out there willing to pay. I could see the Ravens having the presumption that, like, look, you know, somebody out there is going to pay Hendrickson. We might as well do this deal. It's not a great way to have operated, and certainly that I do think that was too much compensation to give up for him. I don't think a lot of teams, I don't think any teams were ready to give up, you know, 2 first-round picks. Obviously, the Dallas Cowboys were in on it, and they weren't going to do that. It's a bad look for Baltimore. It is, but at the end of the day, it's not going to stop anybody from doing business with those guys. It's just, again, it's one of those things that happens in the NFL. And, you know, the next time a team needs something from the Ravens or has a draft pick on the table that they're interested in or whatever, they're going to do the business with the Ravens and Eric DaCosta. And they're not going to care really how the Raiders got treated, or Max Crosby for that matter.
Interested to see how that all goes. Charles, thanks for being with us. We're going to see if we can send you a Titans jersey that you can walk around the city of Houston with and just see how that goes.
I'm going to tell you right now, I would not do it. I don't understand, like, the insanity. I don't think people fully will ever really realize, like, how much, like, Bud Adams, like, the hatred that exists in the city of Houston for, you know, that move having taken place. And, like, the Texans could win a Super Bowl. There's still going to be people that are mad for the rest of their lives over ultimately that move. And I truly think it says something when J.J. Watt comes out and says, like, starts really kind of getting into the kitchen of that whole mess. And people are like, you didn't even play for these guys, and yet you're like hurt to your core. That will tell you how. And also, by the way, it's not like Houston's not. This isn't like in some ways a very transient kind of fan base in Houston for all the teams here.
Yeah.
Like if a team in Houston's not doing well, they don't fill the stadium. Like there's not like it is a very like fair weather kind of situation in a lot of ways. And if a team's doing well, they pack the stadium. If not, people don't show up. So it's not like a, you know, whether you're good or bad, we're always going to be here kind of a situation. So, yeah, I would not wear that. Don't send me.
Okay.
That,
we'll see if we can avoid it. I'd love to see it.
I appreciate it. But what did I, and Robbie, what did you tell me I missed yesterday? What was Joe complaining about?
Well, he's worried about the waistband a little bit. There's a lot of food going on at these basketball tournaments. So,
buffets open all day. I can't stay away. You've seen me at a buffet. You know.
Listen, man, you've seen me 100 pounds lighter than I am now. I mean, granted, over 25 year span, 30 year span.
It's long span.
But yeah, I'm with you, man. The buffets don't help me any either. So
we'll get there.
Oh, Joe.
There we go. Charles, have a wonderful weekend, my friend. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
Appreciate it, guys. Next time I'll wake up for the show. I apologize.
It's all good. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Every week here on the program, we'll have TD with us coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane. Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.